KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
Lisi, breaking news. Warriors forward Kevin Durant will play tonight against the Thunder in Oklahoma City despite that sprained ankle. Tip off in an hour on ESPN TV and the ESPN app. The Celtics look to stretch their winning streak to 17 straight in tonight's visit to Miami. Boston currently ranks 27th out of 30 teams in shooting. It has gotten a lot of help from its defense during this run, points out ESPN's Amin El-Hassan.
Make no mistake, they got to get better offensively. This is not going to cut it, them being bottom third in the league. You know, we always talk about defense and championships. No, good teams on both sides of the pole win championships. So that's got to get better. But in the meanwhile, the shot can come and go. Your defense shows up every night, and that's what they've been doing.
One of the other keys for the Celtics during this run, the play of Kyrie Irving, 65 points in 38 minutes in crunch time, and his player efficiency, 78.0, next best among the over 60 players with at least 25 minutes, 46.0 by LeBron James. The Bucks will be without star Giannis Antetokounmpo tonight against the Suns because of a sore knee. After undergoing microfracture surgery to repair a torn meniscus in his knee, Clippers guard Patrick Beverley will miss the rest of the season, this according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Four-time All-Pro cornerback Darrell Revis back in the NFL. Revis, who has not played since last season, signing with the Chiefs. KC has lost four of its last five games. Coach Kevin Sumlin says he has not had any recent discussions about his future at Texas A&M. The Houston Chronicle reported yesterday that Sumlin will be fired after the Aggies' regular season finale against LSU, win or lose.
College football on ESPN Radio. The Florida State Seminoles head to Gainesville to face the Florida Gators. Coverage begins Saturday morning at 11:30 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Radio. Presented by the 2018 Ford F-150.
The city of Cedar Rapids hopes you have a wonderful Thanksgiving filled with family, friends, and of course, delicious food. Due to this special holiday, there's no garbage collection tomorrow. Instead, Thursday collection will be on Friday, and Friday collection will be moved to Saturday. Never miss a garbage pickup again. Sign up for reminders at crnewsnow.com.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Top off your cooling system during the 5-day sale at O'Reilly Auto Parts with Peak Long Life Premixed Antifreeze on sale for $5.99 a gallon after mail-in rebate. Protect against damaging rust and corrosion with Peak Long Life Premixed Antifreeze for $5.99 a gallon at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We alarm our houses. And we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
Now that the season's over, the Harvicks are getting ready for a new baby.
We're getting closer. We finally have her room pretty much done, so Mom's a little less freaked out.
I'm Woody Kane. The story next on NASCAR Today.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/promo. That's Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Duralast batteries are proven tough in the most extreme conditions. They're tested to start in 140 degree heat or temperatures of 40 below. Yep, they're that tough. So if they can do that, they can definitely perform for your nephew's soccer game, work through a scattered thunderstorm, or be dependable on Sunday afternoon trips to the grocery store. Because no matter what the weather's like, it's nice to know that you've got a proven tough Duralast battery under the hood. Duralast, proven tough and sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
After narrowly missing a second championship over the weekend, Kevin and Delaina Harvick can now turn their attention toward the new baby girl they're expecting early in 2018. Harvick says mom and their son are both ready as the season-ending awards program looms next week in Las Vegas.
Let's get through the banquet and then we can go from there. But it's been a fun process, and I think she's done really good with it. And Keelan seems to be excited about little sister coming. So it's very strange to see little girl's clothes hanging in a closet.
Keep up with all the off-season news with us every day at MRN.com and on Twitter at MRN Radio. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
6:05, welcome back in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Until 7 o'clock tonight, stop on by KGYMradio.com. Vote in the Emil's Hideaway poll question, who wins Friday's game between the Hawkeyes and the Huskers? Emil's Hideaway is on 1st Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. 6 o'clock showdown coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll have tickets for the Rough Riders game Saturday night at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. You're going to have to pick those up at will call. 7 questions in 60 seconds. If you answer more than your opponent, you're going to be off to see the Riders this Thanksgiving weekend. And a guy joining us on the program now who, if I recall correctly, is a big fan of turkey, especially turkey legs. It's Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. Tristan, do you have big plans for tomorrow's Thanksgiving feast?
I sure do, but that's a filthy rumor about the turkey legs. Ah, who am I kidding? I do love those. That stuffing and some good old sweet potato casserole.
We've got questions coming in for Tristan. 319-366-1600. And we'll start with questions about a couple Redskins, Josh Doctson and Samaje Perine. Your thoughts on both of those guys moving forward?
I don't want to get ahead of myself with either one with excitement, but there's a lot of reasons to like both of them. Perine is the last guy standing, really, of the players that they had coming into the season. Probably going to be on the injury report this week going into the game, but I think he will play in this one. And he's going to get a pretty hefty workload. At times, he's looked kind of decent. Other times, I haven't been all that impressed by him. So I think he'll be susceptible to the matchups. But you've got a shot at top 20 running back value. That means he's got to be owned everywhere, and I feel like he's going to be in your lineup more often than not. Feel pretty good there. Doctson, he's playing a massive amount of snaps. He's got a lot more targets than people expect, and the numbers in fantasy just haven't come around yet. But this matchup, this one on Thanksgiving night, is a very good one for him going up against the Giants. I do think he'll capitalize even if he gets Janoris Jenkins. Definitely should be on rosters in every league, and I do think there's some very promising things coming up for him. If your trade deadline hasn't passed, inquire.
How about the injury situation for players who are in games tomorrow?
Definitely need to keep an eye on a few of those. Most of the ones I think we already had ruled at this point. Let me see if I can dig up the ones from yesterday. The weird thing is I always look at injuries from the overall week's perspective. Who was the one I was looking at? I feel like Crowder was going to be on the injury report, and he's going to probably play in that game. Shepard is the one that really worries me a little bit. I don't know what's going on exactly with the migraines. I think that of any of the players who you're going to find on that list, the one that I'm genuinely not sure is going to play is going to be Sterling Shepard, and I'd lean right now towards planning as if he's not going to. I feel like because it came up late last week and it hasn't really changed this week, I'd be a little bit concerned he's not going to suit up.
0211 has a wide receiver and a running back question in a standard league. First, the wide receiver question, Paul Richardson or Marquise Lee?
It's pretty close between the two of them. In Marquise Lee's case, the concern is injury costing him some practice time could get Patrick Peterson here as the matchup. I still think there's more opportunity for him, so I'd go ahead and roll the dice anyway and hope that maybe they can, you know, kind of treat him with the volume approach where he just gets a good enough targets to make it worthwhile.
And then Adrian Peterson or Marshawn Lynch is the running back question.
I don't like Adrian Peterson at all this week. He's a volume-dependent and matchups-dependent play, and this is not one of the better ones. It's not the worst one he'll see, but it's also not a good one against Jacksonville. I mean, granted, the pass defense is better, but I'd avoid him. I would take Marshawn Lynch. Denver, yeah, we have this perception that they're great against the run. Not as much lately. I think there's an opportunity here for him.
0978, a quarterback this week, Goff or Carr?
Pretty close again. I don't like either's matchup just because you've got Goff going against New Orleans. They've been playing pretty good against the pass over the past month plus. Carr going up against Denver. I still have a lot of respect for their cornerbacks. They can kind of keep those Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree in check. I would go with Goff here. Kind of going on the idea that the Saints defense, especially the pass defense with Marshawn Lattimore, a little banged up. I wonder whether there's an opportunity there that the defense doesn't play as well. Goff it is.
26-62 needs two of the following in a PPR league: Funchess, Westbrook, Smith-Schuster, or Inman.
If you need two, I'm going to go with Funchess for sure. Like the matchup a lot, like the volume he gives you. Smith-Schuster would be the second option. The only concern here is that's another guy who's going to end up on the injury report. I do think he'll play ultimately, but in the Thanksgiving week when a guy doesn't practice on Wednesday, I kind of raise the eyebrow. It's a great matchup for him against Green Bay. If he gets the okay, I would give him the start.
Tristan, we were talking yesterday about the Chicago Bears and their usage of Tariq Cohen and how hilarious it is when you hear John Fox trying to explain why he didn't use him as much as they should. Was last week where they finally got him some touches. I think it was 13 touches for Tariq Cohen. An aberration or a sign of things to come?
I'd lean a little more towards sign of things to come because I think they need to get him roughly 10 touches a game here, and this was closer to it than the ones before. The thing that really puzzled me most was that it was five consecutive games where he got only one reception. This guy can catch passes out of the backfield and do an awful lot of damage there. He's tough to defend when used in that way. So I think most weeks you're going to see somewhere in the range of about 7 carries, 3 catches, and it's not going to be enough to make him a clear-cut starter for you, but I think he's going to be a flex play consideration. The only issue is this week, not a great matchup against Philly. I actually like next week's matchup and the one after it. San Fran next week is a great one, and Cincy is the week after that. So you're owning him really for those fantasy playoffs.
Get your fantasy football questions to us now for Tristan Cockcroft, his appearance sponsored by Imon Communications. Eric wants two running backs in a standard league between Martin, Peterson, Collins, or Burkhead?
Martin, Peterson, Collins, and Burkhead. Martin, for sure, in this case, I think, especially in a standard non-PPR league, I think he's going to be worth your while. It's going to be pretty close between Peterson and Collins there. Not wild about either matchup. Houston is not a good one for running backs either. I ranked Collins slightly better. I mean, we're talking one spot better than Peterson, but in this case, what I'll tell you is I'll give you Collins here, and I'll tell you that Peterson probably is the higher ceiling player if that weighs on your decision.
37-56 is in a standard league and needs one of the next four running backs and wonders if any of these would be a good start at the flex position over Tyreek Hill. So it's Orleans Darkwa, Deion Lewis, Lamar Miller, or Tevin Coleman.
I'd start Miller probably over Tyreek. See, I don't like to bench Tyreek Hill. I feel like, I mean, what wide receivers do you have that you're starting over him? You must have a kind of a richness of wide receivers on your roster. I'd say that Lamar Miller is the one who I would give the start over him. I tend to go with the running backs when I'm talking about two clear-cut starters in the majority of leagues, so he'd fit that bill. I actually can make the case for Tevin Coleman this week. I'm presuming that Devontae Freeman doesn't play this game. I mean, that injury is not easy to recover from. You got to keep an eye on that. I'm not sure that he plays this week. It's possible, but I'm just not certain. And if Coleman's the guy, I think he's going to make a case to be in your lineup as well.
All right, 82-58 is in a keeper league. He's been eliminated from this year's playoffs. He can trade a couple of pieces for Devontae Freeman and keep him at 35 of the allotted $200. But should he be worried about his concussions and his carry percentage?
Less worried about the carry percentage. They're doing a very good job of using the tandem backs there in Atlanta, and I think that's going to keep going forward. I think that they did make an investment in Freeman as if he was going to be used the same way year in and year out if he's healthy. The concussions, for next year for a keeper league, it's not a significant concern, but it is something that raises the warning signs here. And the reason for that is just that when you have concussions and you have a repeated history of these, they can become an issue and they can threaten a player's career. So there is a little bit of risk here that we've got to keep an eye on it, hope this doesn't become a persistent problem and that he plays out the year well. But that said, 35 out of 200, it's a good price. Probably not trading pieces you can't replace. I would go ahead and take the chance. I think that's definitely – Freeman's a building block player.
22-72 in a PPR league needs three of the four. So he needs to sit one of the following running backs this week: Alvin Kamara, Lamar Miller, Christian McCaffrey, or Deion Lewis.
Lewis is going to sit there. I do like the matchup a lot. Miami is a good one for running backs. That defense is playing terribly lately, and there's an opportunity. But he's just not going to get the volume of these other three. It's also a PPR, I think you'd sit in there, or half
yes.
PPR if that's the case.
Full PPR.
Full PPR, yeah. There's no way. McCaffrey's the closest thing to a sit here out of those guys if you're going to play Lewis, and I can't make the case. In a full PPR, he absolutely needs to be playing against the Jets. Good matchup for him. There's just not enough volume for Lewis.
Tristan, I'm asking this for a friend, of course, but do you expect a bounce-back week from Kareem Hunt, or is this a tough matchup against Buffalo?
I actually think this is a good matchup against Buffalo. If you look at the recent grades of that run defense, they're not especially good. They've actually struggled quite a bit in the past couple of weeks. Kind of a hit-or-miss defense. There are a few of these out there in the NFL. KC is another one. Their pass defense has been very hit-or-miss this year. I do think the Kareem Hunt can put up some good numbers. I just want to see a commitment from the Chiefs that they'd be willing to give him 20-plus carries. They got close this past week with 18 because the game flow dictated it. I want to see them playing him from the first minute of this game, and I'm starting him. To me, he's a very clear-cut top five running back play.
All right, I know how much you love crystal ball questions, but 6385 says, I've already clinched for the playoffs. Any suggestions for players to add from the waiver wire stashes for weeks 15 and 16? So we're looking toward the fantasy playoffs, guys, and I know it's tough to predict injuries, but is there a name or two out there that maybe this person could stash for a couple weeks?
The first guy, as ridiculous, he's an obvious name, as you can think, is Ezekiel Elliott. If somebody caught him in your league, you might want to stash him for that final week. It's a Seattle matchup, week 16. But, you know, I have seen him. There's stranger things than to see him cut in your leagues. The next guy that came to mind, actually there's two of them, Derrick Henry's probably not out there in a good number of leagues, but a guy who kind of fits that bill, might be worked in over the final month, is Marlon Mack. He also, by the way, has one of those Buffalo matchups in week 14. He's got a Denver game in there, which is kind of tricky for a running back, but as I said, their run defense has been a little bit inconsistent lately, so I do think there's opportunity there. The other one, too, Austin Eckler needs to be owned in a lot more leagues than the 22% he is in ESPN leagues. I do think that the Chargers want to give Melvin Gordon a little bit of a breather here down the stretch, and there's some opportunities for him considering these matchups there. I see a Jets and I see an Oakland one down the stretch. See if Eckler's out there in your league.
You mentioned Tevin Coleman earlier. What do you think of his matchup against the Bucs this weekend, assuming he is the guy and Devontae Freeman is out?
I feel pretty good about it. It's not one of the best ones. It's not one of the worst ones. It's one of those middling ones where I'm going to go with the skill of the player, and I feel like Tevin Coleman has kind of earned our trust that if he is one who's getting the start, he's especially capable of getting you the touchdowns. They're going to use him in those tough situations close near the goal line. He has touchdowns in back-to-back weeks. That's a very good sign for him. I don't think he's an RB1. I think he's a very clear RB2 if he gets the start.
Tristan Cockcroft with us for just another minute or two. 319-366-1600 if you've got a fantasy football question for Tristan. Any matchup that just jumps out at you this week, a guy that maybe you wouldn't necessarily think of having a must start in your lineup, but you just love the matchups?
We touched on one in Doxson. I like that matchup a lot. I was very undecided as to which Redskins receiver, counting the tight ends, that I wanted to go with. But the only one I want to remind people about, Tyrod Taylor is starting again. This is an extremely favorable matchup for a guy who, because Nathan Peterman got the start last week, was dropped in more than half of ESPN leagues. He's owned in 49% right now, and to me, he's absolutely a start going up against Kansas City, and this could go to some of his receivers as well. I don't like Charles Clay's matchup. I think there's opportunities for Zay Jones possibly to put up a decent game, and depending on how they use, based on the injuries, Kelvin Benjamin and Jordan Matthews, there could be some opportunities. These guys are available in a good number of leagues, and I really like the matchups.
36-85 PPR league, Jerick McKinnon or Jordan Howard this week?
It was a PPR, you said?
Yes.
Based on that, I'm going McKinnon just because of the receiving production here. It is pretty much, they're like 11-12 for me, depending on the scoring format, where I would put Howard first in non-PPR, but McKinnon in PPR.
All right, Tristan, we appreciate the help as always, and happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the turkey, enjoy the stuffing, and hopefully enjoy some fantasy victories. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a very happy Thanksgiving, and good luck this week.
Tristan's appearance sponsored by Imon Communications. Give them a call for all of your internet and cable needs, as well as telephone. People still have home telephones, right? 20 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock. Josh Doctson finally emerging with Kirk Cousins there in Washington, a player to watch and certainly a guy that I was able to roster in a couple leagues, didn't get him in every league, but ahead of players going on waivers last week because I have been seeing his targets and his snap count go up a little bit. So there are, I guess, probably some hidden gems still out there on the waiver wire, but at this point we're far enough in. Pickens are pretty slim. You got to hope for the injury bug. It's interesting stuff on Tyrod Taylor, though. The Peterman thing just backfired on Buffalo big time last
really,
week.
Really, really stupid.
Speaking of quarterbacks, not necessarily that this has any fantasy implications, but Kyle Shanahan has said that C.J. Beathard is going to be San Francisco's starting quarterback this week. I think they've got the Seahawks. So Beathard gets at least one more start, and Jimmy Garoppolo continues waiting in the wings.
Now, does he start the last week of the season, or do you just carry him over to next year? It's amazing, though. Football, as somebody pointed out, is the only sport where you can justify doing this. Spending all that money, mortgaging the future, trading away assets, getting a guy like that in return, and then saying, well, not ready to play him yet. No other sport does that.
319-366-1600. No more fantasy football questions because you don't want to ask me or Alex for advice. Trust me on that one.
How's our team doing?
We're in first place.
So Kirk Cousins is coming through for us.
In a half-point PPR league that rewards quarterbacks, yes. That was an excellent, excellent play. We also have that Kareem Hunt guy. And you know what? Let's give the listeners a little bit of an update here. How about that? An overview of the KGYM Listener League, in which I do believe, maybe I was wrong, maybe we fell to second place. Pull up the standings there. Nope, yeah, first place, 8-3. Ron Mexico, also 8-3 in second place, but they're leading the North Gym Division. And then we've got Dirty Jim Schwartz in third place. Hail to the Victors in fourth. The Joy of Punting in fifth place. And Saved by the Bell in sixth. I think we've got it set up that six teams make the playoffs. I can't remember, though. So it's been a tough season for In It to Gwinnett, the returning champion. That's with an asterisk because we beat them. But In It to Gwinnett, just 3-8 on the year and on a two-game losing streak.
So not only do the listeners get to hear an update on our fantasy football league, and we're going to have.
We wouldn't give you one if we were not in. If we were not in first place, we would not have given an update on the team. But look, listen.
We also
listen to this killer roster. You got Kirk Cousins at quarterback, DeAndre Hopkins, Jarvis Landry, and Larry Fitzgerald in the receiving core this week. Kareem Hunt and Jerick McKinnon at running back, Delanie Walker at tight end, and then flexing in Devin Funchess in a juicy matchup against the Jets in the Meadowlands this weekend.
Did you just see what came across the Hurtine and Stocker text line?
Something from Jason from look, it's Stumpy's prediction. 6:23. What does Stumpy think happens Friday in Lincoln? We'll tell you when we return after this. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on 106.3 and 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. More on the way.
Hello, and welcome to Elf Training 101. Today, we'll be learning about decorating Santa's castle.
Ooh, I love this stuff. Come on, let's put up the light to get the big striped North Pole sign up on the roof.
Now, just a minute, Jingle. There are a few things we need to learn before we decorate.
Like how to string popcorn?
No, like safety procedures.
Safety? What?
Just like Linn County REC taught us. For example, we always check our lights to be sure they have a UL safety certification.
Got it. I'm gonna go get the hammer to get started.
And we never use metal staples or nails because that can damage the insulation on the wires.
Oh.
And when we put the North Pole sign on the roof, we make sure it's clear of overhead power lines.
Huh.
You see, safety is a big part of holiday decorating.
I guess I've got a lot to learn.
For homework, go to LinnCountyREC.com and get all the info.
Okay, is toy making next?
Next, we study elf fashions throughout the decades.
Power up safely this holiday season with help from Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
As GIs returned from overseas and families began to boom, young Willa Dickens began honing his watchmaking craft at a highly regarded jewelry store on a bustling corner in downtown Iowa City. He worked steadily behind his jeweler's glass, eventually taking over the business. And as his reputation grew, so did his family. Sons Terry and Tim spent afternoons at his knee, learning about gemstones, precious metals, and most importantly, how to properly treat a customer. And as the decades passed, the three of them, along with a remarkably dedicated staff of friends, as well as Willa's granddaughter Kate, continued the tradition of excellence and integrity begun at Hertin and Stonker Jewelers in 1947. Now, as they celebrate their 70th year, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say congratulations to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Stuff a backpack at Iowa Book this Friday and Saturday and save 40%. Buy a backpack at 40% off and get 40% off all the Hawkeye sportswear and general books you can stuff inside. That's right. Stuff a backpack with Christmas presents this Friday and Saturday and save 40% on the backpack and all the Hawkeye sportswear and general books you can close the zippers on at Iowa Book downtown across from the old Capitol.
Iowa Book! One of a kind bookstore.
Have you seen the Johns lately at TCB Pool Hall? No, not the two guys at the bar. I'm talking about the restrooms. No joke, 5 stars. But enough about that. TCB is a pool hall with 10 full-size tables you can rent by the hour, so you can play as long as you want. There are always interesting drink specials. I mean, you've got to have something to sip on between shots, right? Play pool, drink cold beer, use the John at TCB Pool Hall, on the Pedball next to Mondo Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Back to the Todd Brommelkam Show, right here on KGYM.
6:27, and we appreciate everybody listening to the program in this short week. This is going to do it for us, and we'll be off tomorrow for Thanksgiving, clearly. And then Friday, no local programming with the exception of After the Final Gun. It'll come to you live from Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City once Iowa and Nebraska have finished up at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. We do this every week. We missed 1 week this season. I think Stumpy was busy attending to the birth of a new grandchild, if I recall correctly. But our super Hawkeye fan and super listener, Stumpy, is giving his prediction this week. He has Iowa 34, Nebraska 24. I am the ultimate optimist and their biggest fan and have stood behind the Hawks through the entire season. If they lose this game, even I will be at a total loss for words. And if you know Stumpy, you know he's never at a total loss for words. So that puts it in perspective there. It's a 34-24. That's a lot of points against the Iowa defense, but he's optimistic. As are you. You've let us know on the Hertin and Stocker text line. I have not seen anybody predict a Nebraska victory this week. Yeah. Nobody has predicted a Nebraska victory.
Nebraska must not really not be very good.
Well, they're not very good, but it's not like the Hawks or the 85 Bears.
Well, that's why I'm saying.
319-366-1600. And this team doesn't have a Buddy Ryan to go with Mike Ditka. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa basketball team avoided a total disaster in the Cayman Islands today, claiming a must-win against Alabama Birmingham 95-85. Jordan Bohannon was extremely efficient, scoring 30 points on only 12 shot attempts, with Tyler Cook right behind him with 29 points. Giving up 89 is always at least somewhat concerning, but for at least one day, the Hawkeyes were able to shoot 60% from the floor and beyond the arc to get the win. The Iowa women also beat Morgan State today 90-46, led by, guess who, Megan Gustafson with 18 points and 10 boards. The Hawkeyes are 5-0. Iowa basketball fans may remember one Adam Woodbury, who yesterday got picked up by the Westchester Knicks, the G League affiliate for the New York Knicks. Speaking of getting picked up, former Iowa running back LaShawn Daniels was signed off the practice squad and will be on the active roster for the Washington Redskins this week in place of the injured Chris Thompson. Another former Hawkeye, Chad Greenway, will receive the Big Ten's Dungy Thompson Humanitarian Award. Greenway's done a lot of good things in his career off the field, but this honor is largely a response to the Lead the Way Foundation that he and his wife established in the Twin Cities area, offering support and experiences to chronically or critically ill or physically challenged children. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the UNI men taking on SMU in the battle for Atlantis. Tip is set for 8:30, but we'll pick up the coverage around 8 o'clock on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We'll also have a big matchup between number 13 Notre Dame and number 6 Wichita State at the Maui Invitational beginning at 9 o'clock on 1600 AM, the historic main gym.
This is fascinating to me. According to the Sporting News earlier today, the new ownership group of the Miami Marlins, which includes former Yankee shortstop Derek Jeter, already looking for a cash infusion and some new partners in their ownership group just months after closing on the purchase of the Marlins for $1.2 billion.
So the people he took over the team with, he wants new people already.
Well, no, they had the money to buy the team, but maybe they're not exactly, now that they've laid out the $1.2 billion, they don't exactly have a whole lot of change laying around in the piggy bank, I think is what this means.
Okay, so it's not John Spano is
They've come to the realization. That's a great 30 for 30, by the way.
One of the best, in my opinion.
The guy who duped the NHL into allowing him to buy a franchise in the New York Islanders. They laid out the $1.2 billion. They just don't have a whole lot of money left to make deal. And that's, I think, look, if they're asking for new partners to put some money into this, I think that's the writing on the wall with Giancarlo Stanton. I think he is as good as gone. They're going to want that contract off the books, and we'll see what happens there. I saw the latest rumors had Stanton looking at the Giants, and those two teams have been talking, but now you've got the Dodgers apparently at least kicking the tires. I think the Dodgers are probably reacting to the fact that the Giants are close to or in the lead to acquire him. I know the Cardinals are still being discussed, as are the Red Sox, but those two teams seem like a very far reach to land his services. But who could have seen this coming? An ownership group that barely had the cash just to buy the team has now come to the realization that they don't have the cash on hand to maybe run the team the way that they would like. They fired all of those former players, and Jack McKeon, the former manager, they were being paid $100,000 by the former front office. They fired them and offered them to give them their jobs back at $25,000. So take a 75% pay cut, you can keep your job. That should have been a warning sign, a red flag right there.
My question is, what are they going to do if Giancarlo Stanton refuses to be traded? Because he has a full no-trade clause.
Well, if I'm Giancarlo Stanton and I see that the ownership group is asking for new cash or more cash to come in a month after buying the team, I'm getting out of Dodge. It's kind of like being part of a homeowners association and noticing or realizing how many of your fellow homeowners aren't paying their dues and are in arrears. Get a real estate agent on the phone and get moving quickly because it's headed in the wrong direction. 6:33, here's what we're going to do. We'll take callers number 1 and 2 right now, 319-366-1600. We've got a pair of tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders this Saturday night. Those tickets are going to be waiting for you at Will Call. If you can answer 7 questions in 60 seconds, maybe looking for something to do this Thanksgiving weekend. We want to get out of the house. Your in-laws are in town, and you just I don't know, speculating here. Rough Riders, home on Saturday night. 319-366-1600. We'll take callers number 1 and 2. It's the 6 o'clock showdown. 7 questions, 60 seconds. We will meet our contestants when we return after this. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. 106.3 and 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. Back after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-814-2162. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not, it'll be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car. And as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-814-2162. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-814-2162. That's 1-800-814-2162.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
It's coming!
Like all of history's great battles, and that one episode of Seinfeld.
I'm out.
There can only be one winner.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
Let's meet this week's showdown contestants.
All right, we've got David in Iowa City. He's going to be answering Alex's questions, and Finn in Cedar Rapids is going to be answering my questions. Gentlemen, how are we tonight?
Doing well, thank you.
Okay, Alex, as is custom here, I'm going to allow you and David to make the choice here, and don't Iowa Purdue this with Ferentz in the wind here. Don't make the bad decision. Do you want to go first or last?
David, what do you want to do?
Let's go last.
All right. We'll leave it to you and Finn, Todd.
All right. Finn, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Which Iowa football player is a finalist for this year's Jim Thorpe Award?
Jewel.
Reports say that Chip Kelly is expected to coach one of two schools next season. Name the two schools.
Florida and UCLA.
Very good. The number one basketball recruit in the country, Michael Porter Jr., is expected to miss the entire season with a hip injury. What school does Porter attend? North Carolina, Kentucky, or Missouri?
Missouri.
Oklahoma quarterback Baker Mayfield was reprimanded by the Big 12 after an obscene gesture he made toward the opposing sideline Saturday. Who was Oklahoma playing?
Pass.
What team jumped to number 2 in this week's college football playoff rankings?
Miami.
Which two college football teams play in the Egg Bowl?
Pass.
Which Big Ten school is reportedly working on a lifetime contract for its football coach?
Ohio State.
We got 3, and 3 is usually a pretty solid number. We'll see what David and Alex can do here. Hang tight, Finn.
All right, Dave. David, are you ready?
I'm ready, Alex.
All right, if you don't know the answer, just say pass. What Hall of Fame member and former Chicago Cub will be working for the team in some capacity next season?
Andre Dawson.
What is the name of the trophy that Minnesota and Wisconsin play for?
Paul Bunyan's trophy.
Yeah.
Name a team that has beaten Iowa basketball this year.
South Dakota State.
The 49ers have said that C.J. Beathard will start at quarterback again this week. Who is waiting in the wings behind him on the depth chart?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
This NFL quarterback is currently the leading vote-getter in Pro Bowl voting.
For the Eagles, Carson Wentz.
What member of the Baseball's Hall of Fame wrote a letter urging voters to keep steroid users out?
My man, Joe Moore.
And former NBA All-Star Ray Allen was in the headlines this week after reportedly being a victim of a blank scheme.
Catfishing.
Holy cow.
Oh! A Hall of Famer!
Hall of Famer!
Yes!
David
yes.
In Iowa City.
And Todd, it's Dave Zolo, by the way.
Oh, very hey, fun. Dave! Oh, that is
how
awesome!
You,
well, how about that? Dave, you are in the Hall of Fame. I think we've only had four other people pull that off.
I love it.
You ran the table, my man. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Todd. Thank
all
you.
Right, we're going to put you on hold, and Kyle's going to tell you how to get a hold of those Rough Riders tickets. Our pal Dave Zolo, tremendously talented musician and good friend of the program.
Wow. Those were not easy questions either.
You know what? I was sitting over here, and I was thinking there's no way that the Ray Allen question gets answered correctly.
That's what I said.
I thought for sure that I had set the bear trap there, the seventh and final question. I didn't think they were necessarily that easy, but, well.
I got to about question number five, and I'm like, I need to read
he was
faster
rolling. He was
so
rolling.
I don't screw this up.
Luke and Marion, right? The very first ever
yes.
Hall of Famer. And I think, was it two or three other? It's very rare. 7 for 7. I start writing some tougher questions. I thought for sure.
That was tough. I thought for the standards that we usually, the standard of question we usually ask.
Let me see these.
Okay.
Because I cooked these up earlier today. Andre Dawson. I mean, if you were in a Cubs fan.
I would have had no idea it was Andre Dawson.
He's one of the guys that the Marlins basically said, get lost, and then we'll give you your old job back. Carson Wentz, there's no clue in there what NFL quarterback is currently leading the Pro Bowl voting. Carson Wentz, and that's a shot in the dark there. And catfishing, so three of the seven questions I thought probably required a little bit more than minimal effort. It was an excellent 6 o'clock showdown. Normally we kill a bunch of time by reading the questions that were missed, and there are only four of them to read. I'm holding all four of them. Oklahoma quarterback Baker Mayfield reprimanded by the Big. He's not going to start this week's game either, and isn't going to serve as a captain. Kansas was the opponent last week. Told him in no uncertain terms, why don't you root for your basketball team? Because their football team stinks, which it does. Josh Jackson, Jim Thorpe Award, is defensive back. Josie Jewell, not a finalist for the Butkus Award. Kind of surprising there. The Egg Bowl, this is one of my favorite names for any series. It's Mississippi State and Ole Miss. And the school reportedly working on a lifetime contract for their football coach. Michigan is talking about offering Jim Harbaugh a lifetime contract. This with the rumors that I don't know whether he's interested in the Bears are interested in him, whether it's a mutual relationship that's going on here. Harbaugh did play quarterback for the Bears, but we've seen him, I guess, get restless at jobs or wear out his welcome. He certainly did in San Francisco. They moved on from him. They tried to trade him to the Cleveland Browns. Lifetime contract. That makes me very nervous if I am a Michigan fan. Would it not?
Yes.
There is not a, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Even with Nick Saban, there is not a coach in America that is worthy of a lifetime contract. You don't give somebody
a
life.
How can you give somebody a contract for the rest of their life? I don't understand because there are some coaches out there that will coach until they pass away. but towards the end of it, they're not actually even coaching. I know what Nick Saban's worth at Alabama, and maybe one day Jim Harbaugh can be that successful at Michigan. I'm starting to sound like Paul Feinbaum right now, but no, I can't imagine that.
Oh, where do we go from here? Well, the correct answer would be to a quick timeout. 6:44, we come back. We'll finish up strong. Continue to take your Iowa-Nebraska predictions for the Black Friday game. Don't forget, stop by KGYMRadio.com to vote in the poll question. Currently, Iowa leading. Who wins Friday, the Hawkeyes or the Huskers? Emil's Hideaway sponsors the poll question there on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Back with more after this.
Yep, I know, it's still warm out, but Doug McAllister and the folks at Pinnacle Realty know time flies. Turns out that if you want to sell your home or buy a home in the Cedar Rapids area and be set by the holidays, you've got to get rolling now. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and holiday creep. That means not letting the holidays creep up on you. Let's just call buying and selling a home by the time the snow flies your early holiday gift to yourself. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com.
Ho, ho, ho. At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Ryan Fall here from Billion Hyundai of Iowa City. You'll be a big fan of this month's new long-term low APR financing offer on the best Sonata ever, the all-new redesigned 2018 Hyundai Sonata. It's loaded with the latest technology and backed by America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, plus Hyundai Assurance. See dealer for limited warranty details. Plus, be a fan of our awesome low APR financing offer on the all-new 2018 Sonata at Billion Hyundai, your hidden gem, on Mormon Trek Boulevard in Iowa City or BillionAuto.com.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Now that we've remodeled the KGYM studios, and by remodeled the KGYM studios, we just slapped a fresh coat of paint on the walls. But I'm thinking that we do need to come up with some sort of actual spot for the Hall of Fame. And that being said, I think my former co-host had the records of the 7-0 contestants. So I don't want to hurt any feelings, and I'm terrible with names. I've got a really bad memory, but it's a real thing. It's real to me, damn it. The guy that says that about the pro wrestling, the clip on YouTube, that's me in the 6 o'clock Showdown Hall of Fame. Tremendous, tremendous effort put forth by Dave Zola. By the way, check if you don't know or aren't familiar with him as a musician, tremendous. DaveZolo.com is his website. Not an endorsement, not an ad, just a friend and a friend of the show. 319-366-1600. And now a Hall of Famer. You can write a song about us. If we can't get KGYM Day in Cedar Rapids, maybe we can get somebody to write a song about us. That would be a sad country song. I don't know. Speaking of, fingers crossed, Hawkeye fans, Music City Bowl is, I think, the best-case scenario right now. There was a compilation, I think the Cedar Rapids Gazette did this either today or yesterday, of all of the national projections on the bowls, and they've got the Hawkeyes headed to one of three bowl games, the Music City Bowl in Nashville, the Pinstripe Bowl in New York City, or the Foster Farms Bowl in San Francisco. It's actually played outside of San Francisco at the 49ers' new stadium. I guess it would be convenient for C.J. Beathard, Greg Maben, and George Kittle. They could come see the Hawkeyes play at Levi's Stadium. tough sell on the pinstripe game, and because of that, I think Hawkeye fans should be rooting for Purdue to knock off Indiana, because if Indiana wins to get to 6-6, they are in the picture for the lower-tier Big Ten bowl games, and that agreement with the Pinstripe Bowl shoots for 6 different teams, but the ultimate goal is 8 different teams over the course of the 8-year contract, and Indiana just played in the Pinstripe Bowl a couple years ago, so that would probably shoehorn Iowa toward the Pinstripe Bowl, which is December 27th at 4:15, one of the earliest bowl games. I think it's the first Big Ten bowl game with a tie into the conference. Music City Bowl is, what, the 29th, right? 8.5-hour car ride from Iowa City. Great music scene, good food, a very affordable, friendly city, friendly folks.
And there would be better weather than in New York
and
this time of year. Or
a little
that time
bit,
of year.
A little bit better. I've been to that stadium before. Is it? It's named after a bank or something down there. I can never. They change the name of the stadiums all the time, but it's the stadium is right east of downtown Nashville,
yes.
Broadway, Music Row, and all of that. Great city. I can't say enough about Nashville, which means the Hawkeyes will wind up either in the Foster Farms Bowl or the Pinstripe Bowl.
I was gonna say the last time I made a trip down to Nashville was during. It was the day before the Music City Bowl, where Louisville was playing Texas A&M, and Lamar Jackson was running around the hotel, and he was a sophomore before anybody knew him. But yeah, I think that's when that's the bowl that Iowa fans are hoping for. And like you said, it would be a pretty easy trip for a lot of fans, and kind of the closest destination city and the most affordable destination city of any of these bowl tie-ins. But I just look at the Big Ten and you wonder why teams in the non-Power 5 and teams in the Group of 5 want to move into the Power 5 conferences, especially the Big Ten. Look at the Big Ten's bowl tie-ins. It is amazing. Other than the Quick Lane Bowl and maybe, what is it, the Heart of Dallas Bowl, I'm not even sure if there's a tie-in there anymore. There are a lot of really good destinations for these teams to go to, and you can't say that about all of the conferences.
The Big Ten Bowl tie-ins this year, yes, the Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl is a Big Ten, Big 12 team, and I would think that Iowa State would be above that at this point, especially if they pick up an 8th win, so it's not like Iowa State is going to come across a Big Ten team in a bowl game. And the Quick Lane Bowl is, oh, how can I forget the Quick Lane Bowl? I mistakenly said the Pinstripe Bowl was the first Big Ten Bowl to be played. The Quick Lane Bowl and the Heart of Dallas Bowl are both played the day after Christmas. The Pinstripe Bowl is the 27th at Yankee Stadium. Foster Farms is also the 27th, which would be a 7:30 kickoff Central Time in Santa Clara. The Holiday Bowl is off the board at this point. Music City Bowl, December 29th, a 3:30 start time in Nashville. That's a Big Ten or ACC team against an SEC opponent or Notre Dame. Notre Dame most likely not going to be in the picture for the Music City Bowl, so it would be an SEC opponent. I've seen speculation on Missouri,
yes.
The team that Arkansas and Brett Bielema are facing. Now, the Tax Slayer Bowl is in the mix as well. They alternate or are in agreement with the Music City that over the course of 6 years, they each get a Big Ten team 3 times, and the other team is from the ACC. So if the Tax Slayer pulled in a Big Ten team, and Iowa was in the Tax Slayer Bowl a couple years ago, then the Music City is off the board for the Big Ten because it would be occupied by an ACC team. Extremely complicated, and of course you also have Wisconsin in the college football playoff picture. Do they get into the top 4? And then what happens to a second Big Ten team, namely Ohio State? Penn State is also inside the top 10 of this week's college football playoff. Your guess is as good as mine. And the Hawkeyes are going bowling regardless of whether they win or lose Friday afternoon in Lincoln. I think they win. I think it's low scoring, but I've got them at 17-10. And that's not exactly look, Nebraska's dead last in the Big Ten in stopping the run. They give up almost 240 yards on the ground. If you cannot come up with a game plan to successfully run the ball with talented backs like Akram Wadley and James Butler, then I don't know what else can be said about the game planning at this point. Scott Dochterman from the Land of 10 thinks both of those guys are NFL caliber running backs. I don't care how bad your offensive line is. If you've got two guys that are NFL running backs, or at least guys that could wind up in a roster or in camp, you should be able to run the ball against this Nebraska team.
And was it Brian Christopherson of 24/7 Sports that said the Iowa Hawkeyes are probably watching the film and salivating at the way that Nebraska's run defense has looked this year? Yeah, I totally agree. And for the sake of this program, for the sake of the Iowa football program, I do hope that they get things going offensively against this Nebraska defense, or the talk is not going to be very pleasant coming out of the Thanksgiving break. So I have absolutely no idea what to expect from either of these teams on Black Friday. There are so many storylines coming into the game. Most of them don't even really have to do with this week's game. How long was it into the Nebraska conversation with Brian until we even got a football question?
We barely talked
in fact,
about the team.
We didn't, because there's not much to say at this point about that team. And right now, I think a lot of people are sour on the Iowa Hawkeyes as well. So we'll see what gives on Friday.
Cyclone Tim wishing us a happy Thanksgiving on the Hurtine and Stocker text
Tim.
Line, and also saying if you play a Kirk Ferentz press conference backwards, Iowa becomes a high-scoring offense. On that note, we send it over to Kyle. He's got your final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the week. Kyle?
The Iowa basketball team avoided a total disaster in the Cayman Islands today, claiming a must-win against Alabama Birmingham 95-85. Jordan Bohannon was extremely efficient, scoring 30 points on only 12 shot attempts, and Tyler Cook was right behind him with 29 points. Giving up 85 is always at least somewhat concerning, but for at least one day, the Hawkeyes were able to shoot 60% from the floor and beyond the arc to get the win. The Iowa women also beat Morgan State today 90-46, led by, guess who, Megan Gustafson with 18 points and 10 boards. The Hawkeyes moved to 5-0. Iowa basketball fans may remember one Adam Woodbury, who yesterday got picked up by the Westchester Knicks, the G League affiliate for the New York Knicks. Speaking of getting picked up, former Iowa running back LaShawn Daniels was signed off the practice squad, and he's going to be on the active roster for the Washington Redskins this week in place of the injured Chris Thompson. Another former Hawkeye, Chad Greenway, will receive the Big Ten's Dungy Thompson Humanitarian Award. Greenway's done a lot of good things in his career off the field, but this honor is largely a response to the Lead the Way Foundation that he and his wife established in the Twin Cities area. It offers support and experiences to chronically or critically ill or physically challenged children. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the UNI men taking on SMU in the battle for Atlantis. Tip is set for 8:30, and we'll pick up coverage around 8 o'clock on 106.3 FM the South Gym and 107.5 FM the North Gym. We're also going to have a big matchup between number 13 Notre Dame and number 6 Wichita State at the Maui Invitational. That's going to begin at 9 o'clock on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym.
60% of those voting in the Emil's Hideaway poll question have the Hawkeyes beating the Huskers on Friday. We will break it down for you pregame with Before the Boom on our FM frequencies, 106.3 and 107.5 at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon. And then after the game is over, join the KGYM sports staff, sans me, at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. It's going to be a live edition, the regular season finale. We leave you with no fall cliffhangers here like the network TV shows do. The regular season finale of After the Final Gun. It's coming to you live from Coach's Corner, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. The minute that the Huskers and Hawkeyes are finished up on Friday, you'll hear from me in Lincoln after what many presume will be a Hawkeye victory. Happy Thanksgiving. Be safe tonight. Enjoy yourselves. And local programming will resume on Monday with the gym class at 3 o'clock.